just tore my life apart. Tell me, baby, why'd you do it? Won't you bring me back my heart? I tried to understand it, baby. I searched my heart inside my mind. I searched the depths of my soul, so baby, there was nothing there to find. You told me that you'd never leave me. Girl, you just went and told a lie. Tell me, baby, why'd you do it? Why'd you make me wanna cry?
Why you treat me so bad?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Why you treat me so bad, or relationships, why do they fail? Part three. This is the topic of today, Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022, of Let's Do It Radio segment. And this evening, let's talk about relationships. Why do we fail? We have been talking about this the last the third time now. And why do they fail? Is it you? Is it me? Is it us? Is it we? Do we lack communication? Are we lacking? Are we just lacking? Are we unsupportive? Are we supportive? Join me and let's discuss the topic. It was so good. We had to continue to part three tonight. And so I am Miss Inez, your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Falco Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Call into the show if you want to partake, join in the conversation, or just want to be an active listener at 845-241-9985. 845-241-9985. And tell me what's really on your mind. Let's talk about it. Relationships could be any type, but examples are girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, co-worker, children, could be monogamous friends, platonic friends, siblings, etc. We have been exploring some of the reasons why, from a marriage standpoint, of course, but many of these reasons can go for all relationships. We have been discussing these signs over the past week, or a couple of weeks, I guess, now. And I have found 15 signs why your relationship is failing on www.marriage.com/advice/relationship/signs/your-relationship-is-failing. If you want to hear the last couple of segments, go to blogtalkradio.com under Let's Do It Radio. And we have found out that the first reason, or the number one reason, I should say, is communication. And so far, we have gone through the following four. One, no communication. Two, you fight all the time. Three, running from a fight. Four, your partner disregards your feelings. So, let's continue with number five. And so far, we have on the line with us, we have, I believe, Key is on the line from Jacksonville.
Key is here.
He, and who do we have with the last four of 1692?
Dr. Lula Marshall.
Hello, Dr. Lula.
From
how
Little
you doing?
Arkansas. Doing good,
yes,
thank you.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. So, number five, and I know the fellows will be joining us shortly, hopefully, not planning together. When couples don't plan together, it means they don't value or respect you enough. It does not necessarily have to be big plans for the future. Planning date nights together, for example, can strengthen a relationship. So, ladies, so far that we have on the line, what do you think about this? Not planning a one thing that relationships fail? Are you ever failed in relationships for you? We'll start with Dr. Lula.
Excuse me, say that again. I'm not coming through clear.
You can't hear me clear?
Oh, sure. Now I can.
Okay. Planning relationships, not planning together, when couples don't plan together, it means they don't value or respect you enough. It does not necessarily have to be a big plan for the future, but planning date nights together, for example, can strengthen the relationship. How do you feel about not planning together? Do you, in your relationships, past relationships, have you planned and they just didn't go through, or what happened?
I do feel that that is detrimental, not planning together. That leaves a garbage can. That leaves a garbage can. That leaves trash where you don't follow the yellow brick road. That that leads ultimately to separation totally. And that would certainly get each other to blame each other. And I've experienced this with a lot of people, every race, far and near.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that catastrophe there where it easily opened, as easy as you open a bar of soap to wash and clean. It easily opens space and doors and windows that close tight with security bars on it. And you're not supposed to be able to get into those things, but unfortunately you can. And so it leaves the space where there's no value, there's no interest. The interest goes down the drain, the hole that's in the bathtub, and you never see it again. So it's a hidden compartment. It's a hidden compartment that does a total separation. So it ends in, as you stated, possibly maybe during these segments you've had. I've not had the opportunity to get into it. I tried last week, had some disruptions with my phone line here in Little Rock. But it has certainly caused interest in others to go to another man, another woman, whatever, you know, whatever their desire is, and quickly value that person, dress up for that person, take them to dinner, take them to the shopping center, to the show, take them to the diamonds and pearls and rubies, and you get nothing out of that. It's like it never exists for you. You just, you know, you just trash can that we can't even find a top to put on it.
Wow.
So, yes,
it's
detrimental. That's what I feel about that. And like I said, I've had the opportunity to counsel with many people, and including myself and someone else, too. And that's what happened there. But I have a great interest concerning this with myself, with the Lord. I have a great interest.
Okay.
So I feel like if that's, that, you know, he's at the top, then, you know, all of the other distractions that come, they will go. So there you have it. I don't want to take up all the time, but that just hit a spot on me there.
Okay. Key, what about you? Is not planning together, have you had, like, fights and what have you? It's like, okay, we didn't plan that, so why are you trying to do this and do that, Key?
I wouldn't say so much fighting. I do think it creates distance.
Okay.
I think distance can become a problem because then your interest wanes. Even if you don't pursue other options, you get to the point where you don't want to do anything with the other person. And I think another part of that is some people come together saying that they're ready, saying be the key word, but there are often times that both people are not ready at the same time. So one person will just give like the bare minimum, the scraps, and expect the ready person to be okay with that, and then that creates a lot of frustration and discord. So if you're not ready, then I think the person that's not should own up to that instead of
I'm
going through the motions and then just doing just enough to keep the interest of the person when they have no full intent of following through.
Okay. And a lot of times when you don't plan, you know, and since you believe you are together and then all of a sudden the man or the woman goes out, it's like, oh, well, I didn't know you were going out. I had plans, but it's all in communication. It all boils down to communication. If you don't talk about the plans that, quote, unquote, you have laid out, then how are you going to go through with the plans that you think you have laid out? And so that's going to cause, of course, confusion. And so therefore, you know, say for instance, how do I want to say this? Say for instance, you know, it's like, oh, you know, let's go bowling. But I have plans with the fellas. Oh, I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that. Well, you didn't ask. Well, what am I supposed to ask about stuff when you never tell me anything? So therefore, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And it says what you can do is see your partner as an equal contributor to the relationship. Mere telling your partner about your weekend plan can make them feel respected and valued. Say, hey, babe, you know, I plan to go to the game with the fellas. Is it okay? You don't have to ask permission, but just, you know, that was my plan. I said, okay, babe, because I had, you know, date night with the girls anyway, so that's cool, blah, 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 blah. But still, neither one said anything. And if you don't say anything, you don't communicate, how are you going to get the word out so you can have a good relationship, have a good, you know, connection, communication? So, you know, that's how I feel about that. If you're not planning something. And sometimes plan a date night. Hey, babe, every fourth Friday, let's go to, you know, tacos. Or let's go out, you know, dancing, or let's go, you know, to the beach. Let's go for a walk, something, you know. And people don't do that, you know. They don't do that. They don't respect each other like that. So not planning together.
I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
I am.
Your interests are different. Like, the one person may never want to do anything. All the activities might be home-based. But, like you said, I mean, you should be able to at least compromise so there's a common ground so both parties get what they need. But again, even if it's brought to the forefront, like, I just don't want to do anything, then it's, are you okay with that kind of thing?
Okay. That sounds like respect, basically. It's all about respect and communication. That's basically what it's about, respect and communication. Okay. So we
have
two other callers who have just joined us, Reverend Carolyn Williamson and Montana Joe. How are you all doing this evening?
Hello, Inez. Hello, everybody.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are
good
you?
Evening.
Hi, Reverend Carol.
Hey, I'm blessed.
I want to say
thanks to you, Inez, because you've been having this series about relationships and the core of relationships. In other words, what makes it fail and conversely, what makes it work. You find out what makes it fail. So I want to thank you for that. Because relationships are very, very important.
And you are the one who suggested, you know, relationships, why do they fail? So it's all because of you we have this. And, you know, other topics that come up as well. But no, really, because, you know, a lot of times people don't know what why their relationships fail. And I was listening on the Today Show the other day from Dr. What's his name? William Jolly and his wife, Dee Taylor Jolly, and it's called A Jolly Marriage, and they have a book out called A Jolly Marriage. And they were saying the same thing. The top three was communication, sex, and money. And so, you know, basically everything kind of fits into the same bowl You know, if you don't have any communication, you don't have no sex, and then you don't have no money. So, in essence, it's all entangled like a long old piece of yarn. If it gets all tangled up and it doesn't get straightened out, it's just going to stay all tangled up until it gets straightened out. So, we just went over not planning together. That was our number five reason why relationships fail out of the 15 that we've done. So, the next one is, of course, no affection, okay? And we do have some background noise, so if you aren't speaking, would you please mute the line?
Probably me. Don't worry, it's me.
No.
I'm going to mute myself.
Mm-hmm. No, because it was there before you came on, so I think somebody else was moving some papers around. Well, that's fine. Affection, or no affection. Affection is what makes a relationship what it is. At some point in the relationship, the emotion and passion you feel for each other will dwindle due to other commitments you may have, just like planning things, okay? However, when the thought of your partner's touch irritates you, it means your relationship is in trouble. I'm going to start with you, Joe, since you just came on. What do you think about that one, no affection?
Well, I think that no matter what particular categories might be, let's say, for example, sex, touch, money, lack of affection, disregard for feelings, they all fall under, those are symptoms. They all fall under about three or four psychological problems. And
okay.
Even if you discuss, when I say you, I'm talking about the generic you, myself included.
Correct.
Even if people discuss the general, the symptoms, you always have to investigate further, and then when you do, you're going to find out that there's a psychological problem. So to me, regardless of the category, it's always going to be unexpected. Unrealistic expectations, selfishness, lack of morals. So those are going to be the three major ones, because everything, the money, the self, the friendship, the communication, all of that is a result of either selfishness, trauma that people may not realize they have, unrealistic expectations based upon the norms that we get. As a society, you know, conferred to us as we're growing up. So, yeah, to me, three to four different categories. So, but with regards to the specific question you're asking, and that's about what, the lack of affection, well, that's, because a person either doesn't want to give you affection or they don't know how. If they don't know how, it's a result of trauma. If they don't want to, it could be because the other partner is not treating them right, and that's a rational reason, or they're so selfish that they feel that, you know, they really shouldn't give as much, or they're acting like accountants. I gave him affection on Monday. He should give me back the same or more affection on Tuesday. So nobody wants to be in a relationship with this lack of affection. But then again, there will be people who will complain about how affection is overwhelming, that they feel trapped. Right, Reverend? So.
Okay, before you finish, Joe, you say trauma. Is it known trauma or unknown trauma? Is it hidden trauma or outward? Okay.
Both. Because I was on a show with NASCA, which is about survivors of childhood abuse. And I was talking to her, and she gave me the answer to my question about what happens if I come across a woman who seems to be, exceptional, very good, very nice, very sweet, trusting, but there are things about her that she can't stop violating my boundaries, even though she knows that she's doing it, or she feels overwhelmed by affection. And the person who's the host of the show says, you know, it's because of trauma, and you have to let them go. You cannot, because, the trauma may be so deeply ingrained, there's nothing you can do about it. You can take them to counseling, maybe that'll help, maybe not. But in the meantime, you can't let that person drive you nuts. So, yeah, that's a good question that you're asking. Is the trauma known or unknown? It doesn't matter. If the trauma's there, you have to deal with it either professionally or by yourself. And if the trauma persists, to make that person become somebody that is going to sabotage a relationship, you have to let that person go.
Okay, so this trauma, then, you, before you got with this person, you didn't know this person had. It was kind of like an underlying trauma that they had, and they didn't release it, quote unquote, until something triggered it, correct?
Yeah, but most of their lives are like that. They they don't know what the reason is, but whatever relationship they're in, they sabotage it. Either they're overwhelmed by love, or they want more and more love, or they feel unworthy of love, or they're against the world and they want to hurt everybody and don't even know why. They may not even remember when they were sexually abused. So the trauma could be hidden or it can be something that they know of.
Okay. A hidden, a deep wound within.
Yeah.
Reverend Ron, welcome.
Hey,
Reverend. So no affection.
Everyone, good evening.
Yes. Yes. So, no affection in a relationship.
Did you say no affection?
Yeah, that's number six. No affection in the relationship. That's why a relationship failed. So how do you feel about if you have no relationship, you shouldn't be with the person, right?
Yes, in one sense. But now, if you are in a relationship with a person, people, organization, or whatever, and there is no affection, then you must know that there hasn't been no fulfillment in the person's life. Very little or none at all. When people have not had a fulfilled life as far as anything is concerned, then bitterness set up within them, and of course evil personalities can cause the individual to become what they call not stable mentally. There's a passage of scripture that talks about a double-minded man or woman. Double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. They're pretty much like a schizophrenic. One moment, peace, power, plenty. The next moment, a war out of nowhere. Well, but now if you are in a relationship with a person like that and you've become heart-to-heart attached, then you have to observe the actions of the individual and you have to correct them each time upon truth. Now, in the world that we live in, cataclysmic world, people are hung up on devastation, natural disasters and pandemics and all of this kind of thing. So with the natural occurrence and then with the mental imprisonation of whatever bad experience they had, they can't let go of it because it grips them inwardly in the recess of their beings. In other words, it latched to their soul. The shock, the pain, the betrayal, whatever it was, whatever form it was, where they cannot find a solution in a cataclysmic world because it's turmoil, remember? Pandemic.
You must be careful.
I'm going to stop right here for a moment. Then I'll come back. Give it to Joe.
Okay. You're funny.
Well, thank you, Rev. Reverend Carolyn, Reverend Carolyn is here, and I don't want to take up anybody else's time because I think we all got here about the same time, or they got here earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
So I yield.
Yay!
I yield to the floor.
Okay, Key, when there's no affection in the relationship, that would be a turnoff in your mind, correct?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a turn off. I think there may be some underlying factors, but I think for the person not receiving the affection, there should be some consideration. You know, the understanding. But if it's to the point that it's non-existent and you've expressed how you're internalizing it or feeling about it and it's just completely disregarded, I think that's just a matter of blatant disrespect. That shouldn't be tolerated.
Okay.
I just think it would make it hard because affection is a natural craving for all of us. And whether you know, sitting down, just having intimate moments or cuddling or whatever that would be for you, then if that need isn't being met, then it has to be filled with something else or somebody else. So, I mean, some people just, they kind of retreat to themselves and create a lot of distance. And then they don't receive it correctly when it's presented the next time, because of the lack of, and then how they processed it or not processed it. So I think it's equally important as some of the other things that we've talked about. But, I mean, everybody has their own different love language, but some people thrive from the affection.
Reverend Carolyn, no affection in a relationship.
Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Look, I heard a lot of good stuff. But when there is no, and this is my opinion, and everybody has commented it, but when there is no affection, then I think which. On either part, if it's the male or the female in the relationship, they begin to be, hostile, distant. And then the opposite person who desires the affection, who tries to give the affection, stop trying to give affection. And I, like the sister just said, you either start finding someone else to get that affection for. But I'm grateful to God that I'm not in that category that if I'm lacking it, I ain't going nowhere to look for it. Bless the Lord. My master gives me all the love and affection I want. Hallelujah. And I'm wrapped up tight.
Okay. You are funny. You are so funny. You
know, people do different things when they lack affection. You know, I know friends of mine that are married, and when they didn't get the affection because the husband just in tune with the TV or in his own world. Don't go nowhere, but just it got his own little world and ain't thinking about the holding hand or the sit conversating about, you know, whether what we're going to do tomorrow, what your plans is tomorrow, what my plans is today or whatever the case may. Just no conversation at all. And so, you know, they got fed up and they said, well, you know, I don't think they intentionally pre-planned it to, you know, to go and seek it. But, you know, when you're not getting it at home or from your significant other, then it puts you in a position, if you're not strong in the Lord, you will see the eye wink, or you'll smell the cologne pass by, you'll look at the clothes they got on. These are the natural tendency of a human. All of us, male and female, desire affection from our significant other. But when we don't get it, then those that flesh will come in and try to say, oh, look, you know, if somebody gets your attention and they might wink at you, they may smile, and then you'd be like going in there on it, you know, and never know, you might get a phone number and start dialogue, having some conversation. And, but those are the things, that's just reality. Those are the things that happen. So that's why I think male and female need to know that, you know, being in a relationship, there must be communication. Because if there's no communication, you can't have no relationship. You can't have no intimacy. You can't have nothing, you know.
So, right.
And that's the truth. You can't. You might go through the motion or whatever, but you really ain't got nothing. And I don't think no male or female in this day and time wants to ride on a boat like that with anybody.
It ain't on the love boat, that's for sure.
No, it ain't. And so they're not going to stay on that boat, you know. That's my thought on it. It's a good subject.
Okay. We have Brother Eddie out there. He may be on mute because he's doing a few things. Are you able to talk? Okay.
Who, Eddie?
He's doing a couple of things. Uh-huh.
You talking to Eddie? Yeah.
Yes, I am. We're talking about no affection. That's okay. We're talking about no affection. Affection is what makes a relationship what it is. And we've been talking like, if there's no love, you know, there's no affection, it's like, you know, so everybody's had their different discussions on, you know, if there's no affection in a relationship, you know, what would you do? You know, if the touch of your partner irritates you, that means the relationship is in trouble. So give me your bro Eddie speech.
That's why caveman used to carry bats. And she ain't want to do them things. You just, that's right. Give us some old, good old African soup bone to loosen her up just a little something.
Huh? And no, pull her by her hair, huh?
Yes, indeed. Come here, girl. That's right.
Come here, girl. Give me what you're working with.
That's right. Put on some Barry White or some Whispers or something.
Okay.
You know,
put
have
on
a
my
couple
favorite
of glasses
dress.
Of champagne.
Put on my favorite dress.
Have a couple. That's right. Yes, indeed. Nah, but seriously, sometimes it kind of, well, greetings to everybody. I just couldn't help it. She started it, so I just had to, you know, read this script that I had since the 90s. I was waiting for it. Something told me I was going to be able to read that to somebody someday.
Oh, goodness. So that's what you feel
but
like,
I,
you know, just beating her over the head and say, come here, girl, huh?
Yeah, no, that was a jokey joke, but it depends sometimes on how the relationship starts.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if the relationship doesn't start off affectionate, but it's passionate when you are together, then it might not be something that is very important to her. And just like the minister just spoke to, you know, I mean, I've been saying communication all the while because just like going back to Eric Benet, you know, he said he needed about 3-4 times a day. So if that's the constitution of the individual in your life, then there's obligation and consideration there. And why I say obligation is if you sign up for that and you agree to it, which is why you sign up for it, it's a contract.
Okay.
But if it starts to fade, it goes back to conversation again, you know, because sometimes as we get up in age, certain things aren't as important you know, the house starts to settle, so to speak. You know, it might need to be, you know, make it more exciting, more interesting.
A new foundation.
Yes, indeed. Renegotiating, yeah. Exotic places. I mean, there's a few things that, you know, could be done, but overall, you'll get clarity if you really know your partner when you're having a conversation with them in reference to it. Because you know when you touch them how they act, if they want you to touch them, you know, if it's going to go any further than that.
Or if they act like they're asleep when they're really not. Come here, girl.
Yep. The next night you make it your business to get to them before they get in the bed. And if they close their eyes like sleepwalking, you know you got a problem.
Okay. Okay. Dustin, he just joined the group, the panel. How are you doing this evening, sir?
One second, please.
All right. Okay. He'll be back with us. But really, no affection. I mean, a lot of times you have to, like you say, like everybody's saying, basically, you have to, you know, make that move to figure out why there is no affection. Was it something I did? Is it just an on or off again thing with the no affection? Are you hot one night and cold another night? Lukewarm another night? So Monday you're cold, Tuesday you're hot, Wednesday you're like, lukewarm? Or what is it? What's keeping you, you know, together? If you have no affection, it's like communication. Let's talk about it. What is it? What happened? Okay. What did I do?
No. I agree with you, sir. Communication is everything. If you get to the point in your relationship where you have to renegotiate your relationship, you've already failed. Communication is 100%, period. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the time, the day, anything else. If you're in a relationship and you wonder why relationships fail, it's because we stopped talking. We started assuming that, baby, you understand that I'm working as much and this is where we are. No. Open your mouth. Listen, I work. I'm a workaholic. That is the truth in my life. And if the person that is in my life cannot understand that you need to tell me, I don't read minds. I don't do that. I'm on focus because that's what I do. But if you can't tell me, yo, I need your time, you can't communicate that with me, relationship's going to fail. It's going to. And it's the same breath. I agree with so many different people. I'm a man. I have needs. I need things to happen with me every single solitary day. I need you to tell me, even if you don't like it, I need you to tell me, baby, you sexy as hell. I need to hear that shit because that makes me work hard. But when you tell me, baby, I need your time, I don't care what job I got going on. I don't care how much money it's going to make me. I don't need, because you are number one most important to me, period.
Mm.
And that's where communications fail. That's where relationships fail, is we stop communicating. Mm-hmm. We start. We're so busy doing a job, we forget to do our job. Our job is what? To love the woman that is loving us. That's our job. The hell with money, the hell with everything else, the bigger picture in it, our job is to love the woman that is loving us and vice versa. Our job, her job is to love the man that is loving them. And everything else works itself out.
Could I interject something there?
Absolutely.
And what if I said no? I'm just messing. Go ahead.
Well, it would be no, you know. I would just accept a no.
No, go ahead, Red. You're fine. Go ahead.
Nah, you can't talk. I want to talk forever. Now, what? Yeah, what if somebody did say?
Hey! Hello, brother. Hello.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Your Honor, the witness is being hostile. Your Honor, the witness is being hostile.
They are. They are. The, oh, listen, boy. Y'all. Be nice to each other. That's what I got to say. Be nice to each other. Go ahead, Reverend.
Oh,
I was messing with you.
The perfect woman of my mind.
The perfect woman. Oh, goodness.
Don't exist in reality. God did not give us a woman a finished product. She's been bringing to us her old way of participating in a relationship with her exes. That's
absolutely
why they
not.
Exes. Well, let,
hold
let,
on,
let
Justin.
Me,
you can comment after he's done. Go ahead.
She cannot love you like you want to be loved unless you teach her how to do it.
Train her, but teach her.
You can't expect her to come out of a bitter relationship, whether she tell you or whether she does, and be a perfect loving wife to you. Can't do it. She's been in a war. She's been fighting. So her guards all the way up, and she have suffered trauma in the war. So, no, she ain't going to be that perfect woman. The perfect woman is in your mind, but she don't exist in the woman that you meet. No.
That door swings both ways, though. There are traumatized men and men
Certainly. No, I wasn't speaking on a one-sided situation. I'm generalizing. But for the most part, I found out if men stop thinking that, then they will have a healthy relationship with a woman because they know she's not coming as a finished product. I don't care what she's been to schools and so on and such. That's great. But that's where they stop at. But being affectionate, no, because they've been in a war. You got to bring that out of them. It's in them. Oh, yeah, and every now and then they'll spot kiss you with it, and you'll say, oh, you'll feel it. But they'll go back into the war zone. You can be doing all you can do. You can buy them everything they want. You pay all their bills, all of this kind of thing. You can do it. Because you're thinking in your mind, this is the perfect woman because she's built, she's intellectual. That ain't the case. That's what she's done in the humanistic ramification of what we call life. But fulfillment and love, it haven't happened. That's why she got so many exes, man. That's why he got so many exes.
Yes. I have to say amen to that.
I know you're disappointed.
You
want to
comment on the comment? Dustin?
I'll go after Dustin.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah.
No, you want to, I know you wanted to comment because I know you're saying you disagree.
I absolutely disagree. The bigger picture in life, I have to agree and disagree at the same time. There are certain things that you for yourself personally, you have to show the woman that is in your life. Yes, ma'am. That's one. But all of the pain and everything else that person has been through before you, you've been through the same pain. So both of y'all meet with that same fear, that same not understanding, that same worry. But if you meet the right person, that person is willing to not look at you the same way. They're not looking at you as, well, he's damaged or she's damaged. You're looking at that person like, damn, this is a really wonderful person that's in my life. and she wants to be in my life, or he wants to be in my life. So at some point in time, you say, okay, I'm not going to look at this person as the last person I dated. It's difficult. And there are challenging times when you have to say, that's not her, or that's not him. That's not the person that hurt you. But if you come with unconditional agape, as God says you're supposed to come to any person that's in your life, that person, if they're really truly a part of your life, agape is absolute. There's not anything better than agape love. It's not. And you have to take the chance and say, I'm going to give you agape, because that's who I am. That's what I do naturally. Not that's what society says, or my homeboy says, or my homegirl says. I'm going to give you agape, period. So if you're going to produce that, and that's the person that God says you need to be, then there's no, it doesn't matter who you were with before that. It doesn't matter who hurt you before, because that person doesn't exist. That person that is in front of you now showing you a different kind of love.
Okay.
And that's the important part, is if you if that person is not giving you back, if that person is not giving you back what you are giving to them, that is not the person for you. And I think that's where we mess up, is we waste so much time on people that are not giving back to us. Period.
They can't, Justin, because of what? They haven't experienced liberation, or they haven't been liberated from their past.
And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Agape is agape. It is. There's nothing bigger, badder, tougher, stronger than agape. So if you present agape, if you present it, it has to be returned to you. And the right person, if that person does not understand or recognize agape back, that's not the person for you. You don't even need to waste your time. I have no problem telling women, yo, this is who I am. This is what I do. I'm going to show you unconditional, period.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not give it back to me, it is a waste of my time. And I have no time for you. None. And that's where men need to stand. Men, we're strong. We do so many things together. I mean, excuse me, by ourselves. We live life. We structure our children. We make sure our relationships are 100%. But the one thing that we don't give is 100% love to the person that wants to love us back. And if they can't love us back at the bare minimum of agape, then that's not the person for you. And walk away. It's okay. It is so okay. I get you, Pastor. I will agree with you 100%. There are things that you need to teach. There are things that you need
to
teach.
You got to.
You have to. But in the same breath, you have to be teachable. Oh, shit. You have to be teachable. You have to show yourself and be vulnerable enough to learn. And that's where men mess up. I'm the head of my household. I don't care what nobody says. When it's time for me to go stand in front of the Lord, my job, it's not just whether or not I've maintained my household. Everybody that has lived in my household, I'm responsible for, because it was my job to teach them properly. Period. Period, point blank, period. So I take my job very seriously. And if just like it says in the Bible, if a husband or a mate or however it is not conforming to what God wants him to do, it's the wife's job to lead him to God. Because sometimes
but it had an if there. If she
absolutely
in God, if she have been walking in that new nature, practicing. That's a lifestyle to practice.
Yeah, it's practicing. And I'm going with you, Pastor. I promise you I'm with you.
There are certain things, but as men, if we want relationships to work, we have to understand, yes, we have a job and a responsibility that God put on. In the same breath, we have a job and a responsibility to listen and learn. Because I can talk to any woman on this earth right this second, not even trying. But if I'm not willing to learn the lessons that she has to offer, even if I know those lessons, I need to hear them out. I need to communicate that with her. I need to say, baby, I understand where you're coming from. And if she chooses a path that is not what God said is in place, it's my job to say, baby, if you go down that path, this is what I know. This is what I think. This is what I know. God said don't do that. But if you choose to go down there and see how that works for you, I'm going to stand here because I'm the man of my household, and I'm going to build you back up when God beats you to break down. Because that's what he's going to do. He's going to give you options, and he's going to say, okay, go ahead and go down that path if you want to. See how that works for you. And I'm going to sit there, and when you turn around, you've got bumps and bruises, I'm going to take out the peroxide and put it on your wounds. Like, okay, baby, that didn't work out right. Okay, you're going to listen. And it's going to continue to go the same way. You're absolutely right, Pastor. We as men, we have to teach our job. In the same breath, we have to be willing to understand that there are things that we need to be taught. I need to know how to communicate with my lady. I need to know how to communicate with my children. I need to know how to communicate with my friends. I need to know how to communicate with my business partner. So we have to learn those lessons. But ultimately, I am responsible for my household.
But Justin, and everybody on the line, don't you think that men have been treated so unfairly? Now, why did I say
Absolutely.
That? For the mere fact, all we've been taught is how to take care of the woman. All we've been taught is let me just run this for a moment.
Go ahead.
All we've been taught out of traditions and customs, and rituals as well, we've been taught how to treat the woman, how to take care of the woman, how to make sure the woman wants for anything, gives her the best possible life. But the woman have had very little teaching about how to treat us. That's why.
You're right.
I got another piece. Go ahead, man. I'll wait because I got another piece to run. Call me a different time. I know. I got another piece to run on it, but I'm going to wait because Justin hitting on some major points in this piece that's deep in this, you know?
Yes.
Both you and Justin are doing just fine. I just wanted to say that I'll wait until Keith and Bra Eddie come in because I got some things to say, which may take up some time. So I'll wait until Dustin finishes, and then Key and Bra Eddie have their time because they haven't spoken much, and then I like to come in.
Are we done talking about affection? No affection?
No, because affection is the most important.
No.
After communication,
no.
Affection is it. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. Affection is so close to agape, it's not funny. If you can't
show
me affection.
Affection is the way to communicate because you can just look at someone affectionately and they know it's like, okay, it's on and popping. If you look at someone not affectionately, it's like, oh, heck no, not tonight. So that could be a way of communication as well. Am I correct or not correct?
Oh, certainly. And you have to be cautious that you don't get affection mixed up with lust.
Oh, good one, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. Ooh-wee. Good one. Ooh-wee, that's a good one.
Seriously, because wait a minute. Here's the reason why a lot of guys never experience affection because they weren't looking at affection when they looked at her. They looked at her shape.
It left
they looked at, and then And then all of the ideas of what they could do with her physically and her in her non-spiritual woman. See, the non-physical woman, there was never contact made with the non-physical woman. All it was the physical woman and how she could address the sensation of our eyes.
And you know what's crazy about that statement, Pastor, is so many of my mentees, they come and be like, "Hey, Goose, I really gotta tell you about this. This is what's going on, and this is where I'm at, and everything else." And I say this to them all the time, "Yo, what are you really truly in love with? Is it the physical fact that she's beautiful, or is it the mental fact that she ravages your mind every time she gets on the phone with you?" And it's amazing. It's amazing to me how many of them freak. And it goes back to what you said, Pastor. I agree with you. A woman that is willing to understand not just my physical, my mental, my spiritual, my sexual, all of those needs that I have, if she's willing to do those things for you, you have to be willing to do whatever it is that she wants. Okay. And if you can't do those things in return, because we're both learning in that process. We're both learning.
Certainly.
And there are things I have to teach you, and there are things that you have to teach me. You have to teach me how to teach you. And that statement is incredible. If you can't teach me how to teach you, then where we are right now is never going to get any farther than the physical lust that we have for each other.
And that's not enough.
It's not enough. It really isn't.
The most important lessons I've learned while coming here to the show for the series that Inez has sponsored is one, the Reverend is talking about how women have not been taught to treat men the way that men have been taught to treat women. Two, a man should be able to teach his woman how he wants to be loved. And three, Dustin, talking about how even if you do attempt to teach that, there are women who will not, and this is also to reply to Key, there are women who will not respond. And the reason I'm mentioning Key is because Key is also right when she says that there are men who will not respond. So the thing we have to get down to is the fact that men or women, we all suffer from our past experiences, our past relationships, and we bring that baggage into the current relationship. And that person, man or woman, has a responsibility, if they want a healthy relationship, to at least attempt to teach that other person how they want to be loved and to establish trust so that that other person will know how to treat them and to use that trust to build that relationship even further. Dustin's also right in that if you attempt to do that, there are people, men and women, who will not respond because of trauma or because of selfishness, as I interjected, or because of lack of morals. And you don't have to have religious morals in order to have morals. So these are very important concepts. Very important concepts. There are people we need to teach our the ones that we want to love how we want to be loved, and how we can show them. I like Dustin's expression of, this is who I am, and, not take it or leave it so much, but this is who I am, and I expect you to reciprocate. If I teach you who I am, show you who I am, show you how much I care about you, and if you don't reciprocate, then, we have a problem, which also is similar to my, as Inez knows, to my particular philosophy of taking out a piece of paper and you write on it what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, create scenarios in which you can discuss what you're going to do, So it all boils, it does boil down to that. Can we teach our partners? Will they respond? If they do, then great. But if they don't, then what? I'm done.
You can't heal out of anger. You cannot heal someone if you're angry. Now, there's a passage of scripture where Jesus said unto us, he said, through my love and kindness have I drawn thee. I know I don't have the perfect person in my mind, but I can cultivate her with so much love and kindness until it'll break mm-hmm. yokes of the bad experience that still linger in her mind. I'm not naive, but I'm not naive that women coming out of other relationships, one, two, three, four marriages and five marriages, I'm not naive that that woman haven't been affected by each marriage and now says X. Exists. She's been affected. She's been torn. She's been shorn. She's been a lot of different things. So emotionally, she might sashay as if she fine and dandy. And everybody might believe as such. But when you become 101 on 101, then that's when all the hurt and pain, well, that's where we start teaching. We don't run from it. We start teaching. That's where the ability to cultivate as a man bring her back to sanity, because she might come to you just as insane mentally, but may look like she's the adoring queen on the outer appearance. That's why the Bible says God judges the heart, but we as men, we look at the outer appearance. But that's not enough to heal nobody. You got to get to that non-physical woman. You got to get to the hidden woman of her heart. And then you got to pour into her what she yields from the beginning, even before there was a when or where in her life. You got to take her back before she got hurt. You got to take her back. You got to, y'all need to join the church on the fourth Sunday. I'm going to be very honest with y'all.
It sure sounds like it, Brad.
I know, huh? But we do have a new caller that has joined us with the last four digits of 2092. You want to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from, please?
I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Okay. And your name is?
Rosalind.
Rosalind. Welcome, Rosalind. And she's a friend of Key. So Key has a friend on the line now. So thank you so much for joining us. And we are talking about relationships and why do they fail. And so we are now talking about no affection in the relationship. And the men have gone all in, and Key has held her ground. We have Reverend Williamson, who has held her ground. We have Bro Eddie. He stood his ground. And Dustin is Dustin. So, okay. Everybody good on the point of no affection?
Okay. I guess we're good. I would just like to say that even though Pastor Ron always says it's a general term, it's always specific to the woman. Now, I think it would balance out more if we just took the sexes out of the equation, because there are fully healed women that contribute, that bring a lot to the table, and there are men that are just as broken that do not. And you said that the men are taught and the women are not. That's not true. If men are taught so much, there would not be so many broken homes. Kids wouldn't be left with single parents and all this other stuff. Because if the man were taught all these right things, then they would live. And every culture is different. There are some cultures where men
it's their culture to be degrading and dismissive of women. So
it's not just
one-sided. And it may apply to both, but that's not what you're saying.
No, it's not a one-sided situation. But I was speaking, notice I was speaking about how that men have to teach their women when they're coming out of a war, a bad experience.
And what if the woman does not, like I said? There are fully healed women that are not bringing all this drama and baggage that you're saying that they do.
Well, it yet remains for her to surface.
Okay, that sounds like some other experience. We'll be going back and forth on this for a long time.
Well, if you don't mind, Reverend, let me answer that.
Hold on, because I don't have a situation, but we talk about bruised men. My ex just got married for the fourth time about 3 months ago to a woman who is 6 months older than his daughter. Explain that.
Say that again.
I hear crickets. Excuse me.
No. 6 months older than who?
My daughter.
Oh, your daughter. Okay.
Yes, my daughter, who is 36, 35, 36. So she is 36 and a half, I'll say. The woman who he just married and with three kids. So who is bruised now? Who is bruised? Is she bruised? I don't know how many times she's been married, whatever. But he's on his fourth marriage. So something is wrong with him.
Yes, he has. He has problems as well.
Okay.
He has problems
as well. Yeah, and I agree with
her.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, the reason we speak from a male perspective is because we're men. If you women were speaking from a female perspective, that would be okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what the Reverend Carolyn is speaking about. She's saying that women, men are, you know, the Reverend is saying that the men aren't taught how to take care of the family as men, but the women aren't taught how to, respect men. And I think the Reverend Carolyn is kind of resentful of that. That's how I pick it up. But I have to agree with the Reverend Ron, is that, yeah, we are taught as men to be gentlemen, to always open the doors, fight for, defend, lay down our lives, do the Titanic nonsense, while women are not trained how to respect men. You're trained to be in the company of men. Okay, then. Okay, I'm glad you are, because then you can show me examples of what it is that mothers and fathers teach their daughters with regards to teaching them how to respect men. So I'd like to learn about that when you have the time.
And then point me in the direction where there's a lot of women like you.
Yeah.
Well, you can point me in the direction where there are a lot of men like you. I mean, that's the debate here. You're just saying, like, the men are on this whole elevated platform and women are not.
No, I'm not saying that at
yes,
all.
That's what you're
no.
on. Because
no,
your
you're creating
examples,
a story. You're creating a story.
No, your examples reflect that. Joe seconded that. And just
well, maybe I'll have to change my, I have to change my scenario.
Five, which is how it should go.
Can I add something?
Go ahead,
respectfully, sis. How you doing? This is Eddie. Respectfully, an individual can only speak from their walk. So since
right.
we are men, we say things specifically from that paradigm. Now, Key and yourself and Doc, y'all can only speak from your paradigm. Now, yeah, a lot of times we accept or allow individuals in our life, and we see and acknowledge their challenges as we interact with them, but it's our responsibility as individuals, meaning both sides, to speak on things mm-hmm. that are acceptable or whatever, you know, or not acceptable. And that's each individual's responsibility as far as maintaining, you know, that friendship or relationship. You know, I mean, don't nobody want to be called out their name constantly, but if somebody's behavior and somebody doesn't speak to it, then that individual might think that it's acceptable to them. And, you know, it's not, because you're disrespecting yourself when you don't like to hear certain things, but you allow that individual to constantly say it. Because once you put that on the table, and if they consistently do it, then it's evident that, you know, they don't respect you, so you shouldn't be around them anyway. I don't care who they are. You know,
well,
and I yield on that, and I appreciate hearing your point of view. Go ahead. I yield.
I agree with that, the individual. But it's not like there aren't just as many men that are not up to par. There are, in fact, more. That's why women are the way that they are. So it's going to be an individual experience, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not one above the other one. Paradigm or not.
Oh. You just made the general statement, Reverend, that maybe more men are kind of dysfunctional. Now, before I get to asking you why you feel that way, I'd still like to know, for example, what it is that daughters are taught. I can tell you what men are taught: open the doors, pay the bills, take the chair, pull out the chair, take out the garbage, lay down your life for women. And there's another one that I just forgot. Girls first, which is something one of the generals in the Pentagon was talking about. Don't hit your sister, never hit a woman. Those are the things that we're taught. What specifically are daughters taught with the girl? What are the principles that daughters are taught with regards to treating men?
Hold on. Women learn a lot from
their dads. Oh, I'm sorry, Agnes.
No, is she still there? Okay, she's still there. Go ahead, Key. And then we're going to have Rosalind jump in.
Females
hear from her.
Are,
go ahead, Key. Mm-hmm.
Are taught a lot about men, how to view men, how to treat men from little girls. That's why in the majority of the cases, or most cases, if the man is at the level that you're saying that men are, where they do all these things, then the daughter's going to see that. She's going to learn the respect by example first. If something's out of line, the dad will say, well, that's out of line. Or better yet, the mom, because she has all these great things and this great man, is going to check the daughter first. The dad will support the mom. So what she's going to learn, I don't have to pinpoint, say yes, love, and you do all these catering things, and I'm just going to accept your feelings and know that you don't respect mine. It's mutual. You learn about respect. You learn the degrees of mutual consideration. You learn about partnership and companionship. You learn these things. In certain phases of life, like back in the day, you were learning, the man's going to do all these things. You're going to take care of the kids, do the house, all this and that. And so, but then men stop doing their part. Women have to step up. So then they raise their daughters that way too. But if she still have a good relationship with her dad and she learned these examples based on what he presented for her, then those things will come naturally to her. Now, if she got one of these dysfunctional guys, then she's going to learn dysfunction. But that's not because she wasn't taught it per se. She observed it. She lived it.
When I say something?
Go ahead.
If the woman or women or men, if they've been taught not to give themselves to the dysfunction, and they do it, as you just said, and they become dysfunction, they still have to be taught how to come out of that part that they put themselves in. Or otherwise, they will repeat. There's a thing called a dithros, and a dithros is when people repeat themselves. Well, again, if you're not taught how to love a person in a new way, adverse to bringing the way you love your exes and the way you participated with your exes, if you're not willing to love this person that you say God has placed in your life and you see all the benefits of loving that person, then you're going to still be the same person you was with your exes. You're going to do just like you've done, and eventually, if that person, the new person, do not show you a better way of understanding, or you show them, however it may be, well, then guess what? It's going to be some more exes involved. How will you ever change from being an ex or having exes? You have to learn something new. Now, if you've been a hellion all your life and wrapped it up with sweetness, the hellion's still going to come out. But now, if you got a person that can help you eliminate the attributes of the hellion's actions daily, then that person can help you change if they be willing and if they love God enough to put up with it. See, a relationship is more than just having pearls and diamonds and the picket white fence and the American dream. Relationships is more than that. Because when you get through with the money, which is mutual exchange, and you've taken care of your necessities and gotten everything you want, money can't bring you affection. Neither can mundanism or tangibility. It won't bring you affection. It takes another human. And the human that gives you affection must know what affection is, must know the attributes of affection and how to apply it. I can't come at you if I say I'm using the approach of love and kindness. I can't come at you in no ill way. Love and kindness, if my approach to you is love and kindness consistently, I'm finna dominate you. I ain't heard nobody say nothing. I just feel that.
Hold on.
Okay.
We're going to see if Rosalind has anything to say. Rosalind?
I did not. I'm actually just absorbing everyone's point of view. And so I do not actually. Thank you for asking.
Okay. You're welcome. Go ahead, Joe.
In other words, she too scared to stick her head in the lion's head. Isn't that right, Rosalind?
No. No, that's not what she said. She's
I'm not scared. I just think that I want to listen to everyone, and everyone is actually just offering their point of view on the topic. And so it's my first night. I'm not afraid. I just want to listen.
I'm just teasing you.
Joe, do not scare off my guests, please.
Why not? I do it all the time.
Do not. I'm going to put you on mute.
Okay, I won't do it anymore. All right.
That's my point right there. You see, the feminine energy stood up and said what she needed to say, and the masculine energy wants things and peace in the valley, so he said, okay, I won't do that no more. Defense rest.
No, he knows I have the command. I have the command key because I will do something.
That's
right.
Hey,
you know, I will do something. I'll do this to you. Now, listen, I may do something just
Yeah. You see, she's teaching the man how to be loved the way she wants to be loved. So she's going to give the man so that.
You understand?
I'm teaching him how to be strong.
What about the
gong?
Oh, all right. That's true. Okay.
I need to hear that.
I do not know what the hell unconditional is.
That's what it is.
Go ahead.
Right.
Go
That's
ahead,
what
Joe.
It is.
What is unconditional? Like, in your mind, what is unconditional?
That's no, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Okay. I didn't know if Dustin was talking to us or to somebody else. Okay.
No,
okay,
I
so
apologize.
Everybody,
I was talking to somebody else. But
okay.
I'm just going to be quiet right now because I've heard so many wonderful and not so good thing. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Yeah, that's just where I'm gonna sit with that one. I'm
Wait,
just sit
what
right
was
here.
The not so good things, if I may ask?
No, sir. I will keep those.
He likes
and,
to keep peace in the camp.
Respect.
You're
he
not
likes
gonna
to keep
cause
peace
an uproar. He's not. Now, that's what we're here for. He's not gonna cause an uproar. If people are going to object too much to what he has to say, including myself, then why are we here? We're here to hear other people's opinions, no matter what they are. Right.
Destin, go ahead. You already have good things to say.
Yeah, don't worry about me, Dustin, even though I want to vote you off or wanted to vote you off about the show.
That's the whole, like, no. I guess it all boils down to, you know, when you look at the bigger picture on this particular topic, is if you can't find somebody, if you find somebody that is evenly yoked with you and is willing to learn, you know, it's funny because if you meet that person and they don't know how to teach you to love and you don't know how to teach them to love, then if that person is for you, they're willing to learn. If that person is for you, you're willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else in between that is really irrelevant. If you have to fight for it any more than a small battle, it's not worth your time and energy. It's really not. It's really, really not. You know, I hear all of these excuses and all of these things where women have this problem and men have this problem, everything else. That's not the person. If you find that person, they got a problem, that's not for you. It's not. Quit wasting your time on the bigger picture of life. Find somebody that wants to be loved and wants to love back. When you find that person,
okay,
you hold their hand. You hold their hand and you tell them, hey, I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere.
They don't exist, man. They don't exist.
That's a lie. That is a lie. Because I am at one right this exact second. They exist.
Well, I agree with
you. You just can't settle. You can't settle. You can't keep settling. You can't sit here and go, this woman I met, oh, she's great. Everything else, yeah. But if there's a but in it, that's not her. There should be no but. None.
Well, how's she going to be the perfect woman if she ain't never been called
perfection? There's not a perfect woman. I agree with you.
Well,
there's not a perfect woman. But if she hits... If she hits 70% and she says, hey, I want to love you the way that you want to love me, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Try. That's what you try on. But for men, what we do is we have one that says, oh, you're handsome. I really like what you do. You pay all my bills. Can you do all this for me? And I might, you know, I might give you some every once in a while. That is not how that works. At all. How it works is
so,
you two meet. You two are happy.
So,
you two are working it out, and then all of a sudden, all of a sudden you realize that you two are equally yoked. You two are matched. And Joe, I'm sorry, I disagree with whatever it is you're going to say, because
he's going to say he sounds like me.
He's going to say
can you say something? Yes, you can. Okay, that goes back to the necessity of your non-negotiable.
It was my birthday.
No, I think that's your Zoom. Is that your Zoom?
No, that's not me. I'm in another room. I came in another room to make this to make this point. That's somebody else.
Okay.
One of the women are talking to somebody that sounds like
right.
A woman's voice.
That's Rosalind, the new one.
I think it's a new caller. No. It's a new caller we have. I just put them on mute, so I'll go to them in just a moment.
No,
go ahead.
It's not me.
I have another caller.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, respectfully, Rosalind, I was just saying, I wasn't pointing my finger, but, you heard as well as I did, it was a female's voice. That's all I was saying, But that's why having non-negotiables are so important, And that's another reason why I have a daughter. She, her anniversary of her birth is today. And she's been seeing somebody who I strive to express to her until I just became quiet. Quite a few women that I know told me I should act like I like him so that way, since I like him, maybe she'll look at him clearer. But my thing is, I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing. If I don't like somebody, if I don't think somebody's right for you, I'm going to let you know. If you choose to take that walk, it's your walk. It's not my walk. She has to see the things for herself, but she chooses not to. Look at, what I strive to demonstrate to her in reference to this individual. So as long as he don't put his hands on her or my grandson, there's really nothing I can do, I ain't no killer, And again, I ain't even gonna bring that in the equation. But my point is, everybody needs their non-negotiables. So that way,
right.
Just like what somebody said, you won't accept somebody into your life for right now. Right now, it ain't necessarily a bad thing if that's what you choose to do. It is a free will planet. But having that individual and spending that much time with this individual, knowing that that's not the right person, is going to block you from meeting the individual or that individual coming into your life. A lot of people are injured. I mean, you could look at American society today and you can tell that there's a lot of mental illness for various reasons. So if somebody's choosing not to work on themselves or whatever their traumas are, and most of the time it takes that right woman, female, I prefer to say, when she's in her right mind, to show you these things. And that's another reason why sitting down, having conversation, getting to know each other, and then what's demonstrated will show who an individual is. But if y'all just have a, always going to parties, sipping on Hennessy or whatever the case may be, it's easy to wind up in the sack. And next thing you're dating or sleeping with somebody that you don't really know. You're sleeping right. with their representative.
Okay, I want to bring on. Hold on. I want to bring on this caller, and then we'll go to Reverend Ron. A caller with the last four, 6306. You want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from? The last four, 6306. Hello? They may put themselves on mute.
Yeah, they might have went to the other call.
6306?
Yeah, they're making a sandwich.
Okay.
While we're waiting for that caller to come on, I want to say I agree with Eddie. He's right about the non-negotiables. I agree with Justin. I'm sorry if I keep calling you Dustin, but I always thought it was
Dustin.
But
it is
Dustin.
It is Dustin. D-U-S-T-I-N.
Oh, okay.
Dustin, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right,
yes,
thanks. I take back my apology, Dustin. When you were talking about there are people that you try, but you can't try all the time. If you try too hard, that person's not for you. Excuse me. I also agree with Reverend Ron, where he's saying if you have a person in your life who, because of the wars that they've been into, and they're bringing that baggage
mm-hmm.
into your orbit, yeah, there are mm-hmm. ways of ameliorating it. Yeah, you know, you assertively, not aggressively, but assertively show them that you love them, grab them by the hand, grab them by the shoulders, hug them, let them know I care
mm-hmm.
about you, and also do other types of behaviors to let that person know that you care about them, to let them know that, yes, trust is being established here and maybe they can, he or she can move forward. However, having said that, the Reverend also said if that person is willing. Now, that goes back to what Dustin said, what I've said, and what Eddie has said, is that
mm-hmm.
we can try all we want. And the same thing with Keith, same thing with Reverend Carol. You can try
mm-hmm.
all you want with your partner, but if that partner is not willing because of selfishness, in my opinion, or of trauma, then, you know, you try up to a certain point, then you got to go.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay.
Well, now, I don't think everybody is speaking from the standpoint of commitment. Now, I'm speaking from the standpoint of the view of after you committed and this thing occurs. I'm speaking from that standpoint of view. I'm not speaking totally from a standpoint of view of I just met you. I'm speaking from a standpoint of view of people that's committed. You know, I think that's what she was saying to us, why there's no affection in the relationship. Now, I'm speaking from a general point of people that's committed already in a relationship. Do you throw the person away that you committed to? Now, it's something that connected you and that individual together that y'all would go to the altar, get married, and commit to one another. You didn't just do that because you done it. Now let me qualify myself for this conversation. As far as relationships are concerned, my relationship ended in passing on of the wife. I'm a widow, but for the most part, I was able to teach her, even though she was 82 when she passed. I met her over 30 something. Almost 40 years ago.
Hmm.
But I had to teach her, even though she was a fully mature woman who showed me some things, she still
mm-hmm.
had to be taught some things about being a wife. She was a mature woman, but she had never been a wife. She had some stuff. She had some, in other words, her maturity in life, she accumulated things, but she had never been a wife before. She had always been a prosperous, beautiful woman in California who had businesses and stuff going on, but she
mm-hmm.
never had been a wife before. She had been a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
but never
mm-hmm.
a wife. So she could only give girlfriend strength or stamina, if I could use that. She could only do what a girlfriend
mm-hmm.
knows to do. She hadn't explored a wife venue yet. So when she came to me, she could just give me the best of a girlfriend. But that wasn't enough. She had to learn what I liked as well as I reciprocated the learning of what she knew.
But some things she had going on as a girl then was probably permissible in society that we live in. She had male friends, and a number of them, and all of them had what they call wealth. But at the same time, when she came to be a wife, I had to teach her, baby, I'm not telling you to hate them, but you can't have the communication with them that you had when you was a girlfriend woman. You're a wife woman now. That's a difference. She listened to me. At one point, she got to the point where she said, I don't think that's right because me and so-and-so have been friends before you were born. And I told her, I said, y'all was boyfriend and girlfriend, as well as you, Slim, Charlie, and him, and all of them. Y'all were never married. You were never their wife. You knew Tom, Dick, Harry, and Slim, and they got way more from you than you got from them, but you were just in a girlfriend position. You weren't in no wife position. You cannot have all these male friends. Every time I turn around, I don't want to hear your phone ringing. Somebody, John, talking about it. God, no, John, don't call no more. She's married now. And I told her, I said, I don't want to be the aggressor of telling them not to call. I want you to be the aggressor because that's your friend.
Right.
I didn't say tell them they couldn't be your friend, but to constantly call. In other words, make the moral of what I'm saying is I had to share with her and teach her, baby, this is what I want in a wife. This is what I need for my heart to feel good. And guess what? It's something about me that made you commit to me. And you told me that I was the best thing that happened to you, right? So if that's the case, then since I'm the best thing that happened to you, well, you got to get some of the best information you never had from the best thing that ever happened.
I love it.
And she looked at me and she said, well, what you talking about? I said, you've been used to girlfriends fighting with dudes. Well, and I'm using this. I'm just symbolically saying, I don't know whether she done that in the past, but the you've been used to fighting with them one way or another, argument, physical, and you've been used to putting on challenges. I can go out with you and other men going to look at me while I'm with you. I said, you've been doing all this stuff, and I know you have. She looked at me. She said, well, yeah. I said, yeah. You're lost for words because that's what you've been doing. I said, but that's not the way that I want my wife to do. When my wife is out with me, I want the attention of my wife. That's why I dressed up and said, come on, baby, let's go out. I don't want you looking at Tom, Dick, Harry, Slim, and all of them, and I'm sitting at the table. You got your head over into Tom's table. He got a woman with him, but you're still looking. No, we ain't finna do that. But because love and kindness, the way that I taught her and cultivated her to love me the way I want to be loved, that's the reason why I could eulogize her. Simply because I knew she was a mature, sharp woman, brilliant-minded. But that was it. She had never been a wife before. So she could only give me what she had been. And it wasn't enough. Because the way she had been caused my heart to be upset. I was always kind of, oh, man, I just had my head in a spin, sometimes eyes full of water. And I said, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. I told her, I can't do this. She said, what? She thought she was just being herself. But I didn't crucify her. I didn't jump on her. I didn't cuss her out. I added a little love, a little kindness, and a little information about what I wanted. A little love, a little kindness, and a little information on what I wanted. Sometimes she would rebuttal. Sometimes she would rebuttal, and I would let her be herself. But I wouldn't stop applying love. She'd be mad. I'd cook something and fix her a plate. Say, hey, baby, here, you know.
I don't want to eat right now. Well, here it's here, you know. What you want to do right now, you know? And then I might put a strong rap on her mind from a man to a woman. And look at her in her eyes and say, baby, you confuse me sometimes, but I love you. After a while, she up on the table dancing. I said, get down from that. You're not a dancer.
She was your private
dancer.
Well,
I hope she's dancing in the house.
And not outside in the bar or something. I know.
No, no, no. You heard me say she's on the table. I said on the table.
Yes.
But I just shared that the moral of it, I had to teach her how I wanted to be loved because she had never loved a man as a wife. So sometimes when we look at people and say they wife material because they can act like they auntie that was a whore, man, you get tricked bad.
See, y'all just
I don't want to do all the talking. Y'all going to talk some too.
No, but it goes like what you're saying, if I may say. Sometimes, you know, these are the individuals in our lives because we don't know. And these are the individuals in our lives that try and bring us up on how things are or up on game, whatever the case may be. The information might not be accurate, and that's what also tends to create these issues. Well, my mama says this and my auntie says this, and I'm not speaking gender right now. I'm just speaking on the reality of who our first teachers are in these kind of situations and exchanges. But still, if you go to that significant person that you're interested in, and you show or demonstrate a particular behavior, if it's not acceptable to them, it's their responsibility to let you know. But again, if they don't say anything, then you're going to think it's okay.
Correct.
Are you?
No, and that's what it is. It's communication. He communicated with her how he should act as a wife, not as a girlfriend anymore, but as a wife. She transitioned from the girlfriend to the wife. And a lot of times people don't know how to make that transition. They think, you know, it's all, we still girlfriend, boyfriend, so I could do what I want to do. Well, Reverend Ron instructed her, taught her, this is not the way of, these are not wifely, what do you call it, attributes. These are wifely attributes. And so, therefore, when we don't know how to act any better, we don't do any better until someone comes along and shows us a different way. So once we find out that different way and we apply it to our daily routine and our daily lives, a lot of times it makes things so much easier. So then you go back to that person who you learned the lesson from and say, bruh, thank you, because I did not know how to talk to my husband. I did not know how to talk to my wife. I did not know how to transition my husband, my boyfriend into husbandry, or my girlfriend into wifery, or whatever you want to call it. So these are the people, and this is why I'm having these things, but, you know, a lot of times we don't know what's going to come out of the people on the line because we don't know their journey. And so therefore we listen to one another so we can learn. And so therefore that's why we have these platforms so that we can learn. Because if you don't know better, you're not going to do any better. Correct?
Yeah. And I don't want Joe. Yeah. I don't want Joe love. You know. You know. I don't want Randy love. I don't want Joe love. I don't want Keith love. I don't want Skeet love. I don't want none of your past. None of the efforts that you did with your exes. Leave them there. Learn something new with me.
Why did you mention my name first? I'm asking.
No, I'm talking about Joe the Plumber. I wasn't talking about you.
I know.
I'm also wrong.
I got the vision. I know I'm wrong. I was born that way. The thing is, I got the vision of your of your wife dancing on the table, and I'm thinking of two circumstances. One is either New Year's Eve and both of you are having a damn good time, or as Inez was talking about, I'm thinking there was an epiphany in your household after you were teaching her how for her to love you that she realized, yes, he's right. I got the right man, right situation, right marriage. And women, when they're happy, they do things a little bit out of the ordinary. In her case, she probably jumped up on the table and said, yep, I married the right man. Now, I'm not going to ask you to verify that, but that's the vision that I have.
They weren't sugar plums, were they? I'm just messing. Sorry.
No, that was the epiphany.
So our next one, our next topic is 7, lack of trust. Trust is integral to be happy and fulfilling relationship. It contributes to the growth and peace of a relationship. When a relationship lacks trust, it is one of the signs that, but say it all together, your relationship is failing. Lack of trust makes you doubt your partner, leading you to keeping information from him. Lack of trust has various factors like poor emotional support, poor compatibility, dependability, etc., and is a real reason for relationship breakdown. Okay, let me see who I want to start with. Reverend Carolyn, you kind of quiet out there. We're going to go with you first. Still with us? He might be on the road being happy. Okay. Bro Eddie, lack of trust. Are my people still with me? Hello?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Still.
You want to go? Okay, okay. Because everybody got quiet on me. I know Eddie, he was also on a Zoom call, so he might be back on a Zoom call. So go ahead. You go ahead.
No, don't make me start.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. You don't want to start.
Not on the
let
lack
Rob,
of trust.
Whoa,
whoa.
Let
Rob
in our
over. Roslyn is being a sponge right now. Huh?
Oh, Roslyn. Okay.
Roslyn said.
Okay, well, then let Joe go first.
No, ladies first. Remember, that's what I was taught as a gentleman. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I already had my first
today. Go ahead, Joe. You're going to let you start off.
My trust is huge.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, trust is huge. A lot of that's one of the major reasons why relationships break up, because they don't trust each other. Again, it could be because of trauma, because it doesn't matter how well most of the time a good man or a good woman is. If you, because of trauma, are coming across somebody who is especially good, somebody that you feel could be the right one, that might be the trigger that makes you run. Why? Because you trust them. Now, that seems like a paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's why. Because in your other relationships, those were the times when you trusted somebody and that person pulled the rug out from underneath you. So when you see the same kind of situation again in somebody that you like or think that you're in love with, and that situation comes up, where now that person seems to be extremely trustworthy, that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. And that's going to make you run. Because you trusted, which then automatically turn into lack of trust as a result of your trauma, your past situations, and that could make you run. So trust is a huge, huge problem. It's not the biggest problem, but it's a huge problem. It could be lack of trust, or it could be because of trust and the trauma.
So,
I'm done for now.
Right. For now, because a lot of times people don't want to let down their guard because of trauma, because they have been hurt before, because of some situation, you know, just the little slightest thing, they lied. you know, somebody lied in the relationship, they their hearts are hurt, you know, because I gave you my heart and you just tore it apart, you know, type of thing. So, you know,
precisely,
lack of trust is a big one, because, you know, not everybody is trustworthy. You know, you'd be looking out the side, oh, honey, I was out with the fellas. Yeah, okay, why do you have lipstick on your collar? Why is perfume on it, too? You tell me he's a liar. Hey, what I'm going to do. But anyway, that's a song. but I was wondering if anybody's going to catch it. But it is. It's when you don't have trust, you got to start off, you know, with, hey, this is a lot of times we say we don't like to bring baggage into a relationship, but a lot of times you got to let a person know, you know, this is the reason why I left, you know, Jose or Raphael or, you know, Ray Ray or whatever, because, you know, I couldn't trust him. He stole from me, you know. He was always out, but it wasn't with, you know, the fellas. He was always out with somebody else. Or something may have come up that, you know, that Jenny was out with some other guys. Oh, he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby. No, anyway, that's another song. So, you know, it's just hard. It's just really hard. Trust is really one that we could talk forever on. So, do you want to comment now or you want to wait?
Well, I agree with both of you. The only thing I'd like to add to that is trust is so such a fragile concept. I think once you experience the break in that feeling of betrayal, it's harder to process a lot because of the distorted view of the person you now have when you held them in, you know, a higher regard. And, I mean, that's
right,
like with your parents, your children, a good friend. It doesn't necessarily have to be a relationship. I just think once you've established the connection and the relationship of whatever type that you have with the person, and then they take that from you, one, you're not expecting it. So your natural inclination is to not process it right away, or some people internalize, and then it's like, well, why would this happen to me when I do all these things and I've not violated your trust in turn? But I think it's just that it hurts more because of the degree of the betrayal, because your perception and expectations that you held so high for that person are now not the same. And you know, it wasn't an expected thing. You didn't foresee it. But I agree with everything else you guys did.
I like to...
especially when a person says... Excuse me? You want to go, Jeff?
No, go ahead, Inez. I'll join in after you finished. Oh, okay.
I
want to do a little bit of a roll.
Okay. Okay, because a lot of times, you know, when it says, I trusted you, and, you know, you lied to me, and you said in the beginning of our relationship, I would never lie to you. And then all of a sudden, all these little lies start popping up. And, you know, so, you know, when it's broken, trust is really, really, really challenging to fix, you know. But it can be fixed, but you almost got to come every day with kisses and hugs and roses and chocolates and, you know, something to make it up. But it's just that's just a Band-Aid at the moment. You have to basically earn that trust. So go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. All righty. Eddie, did you have something to say? Because I can come in after you, but usually it don't take too long. No? Okay.
You might.
Here's the thing. I want to do a little bit of a role play with Key. Key, I would say you and I have been in a relationship for about 6 months. We care about each other,
All right? I haven't declared my love to you yet. You haven't declared your love to me yet, but you have told me about your past relationships, and you told me about the real bad one you had with your ex. I don't know. Well, let's say it's the ex-husband. Yeah, I think it was the ex-husband. How this guy just couldn't keep his word. He was always disappointing you. Within our relationship, we've got it pretty good, kid. You know that? But little things have been popping up lately where you're going past my boundaries, and it seems to me you're going faster and faster past those boundaries. I want to say this to you. I really care about you, and I want to earn your trust even more, all right? What can I do to show you that I'm not your ex?
Well, what are your boundaries? What boundaries am I pushing?
Whatever they are. I mean, little ones. I'm not talking about infidelity. I'm talking about you say you're going to do certain things, you don't do it. You don't show up in time. You don't put the gas in the car. I ask you to dress a certain way when we go out. You dress exactly the opposite. You say you're going to cook a certain dinner, but when I get home, the dinner isn't there. And I know it's because we've had certain arguments, and I think you're retaliating against me against that. And I also think there are times when you're especially happy with me, and then you get especially agitated right after we're especially happy. So, and I want to let you know, I care about you. I understand about your past relationships. So what can I do to make you feel better about me and our relationship to make it go even further?
Well, Joe, I think it's going to take some time for both of us. I'll ask for some patience on your part. And I say patience for your part because I can tell you all these little ways and little things that you could do so that my trust in you grows. But how will I know that you're doing them genuinely or if you're just doing them because you have ulterior motives? If this is what you want, won't I see that type of behavior in you, then I would know that I can trust you because you're showing me that I can versus me telling you.
But baby, I've already been showing you. That's why I'm having this talk with you, because I've been showing you for the last 4 months out of the 6 months we've been together, 4 months I've been committing myself to you, and I've shown you that I have been trustworthy, that I have shown you affection and attention. You've never complained about any of it, but you have been showing me that something's wrong, and I don't exactly know what it is outside of the fact that you probably have baggage from your ex, and this is the reason why I'm bringing it up now.
Okay, well, none of the examples that you provided shows that my behavior is untrustworthy. I think they're just preferences, and if this is going to work, we need the time to grow. And we'll learn each other, and those things will come naturally. Now, if that changes, if my behavior becomes in a manner that you feel that you can't trust me, then we can have that discussion. But that's not where we are. And like you said, it's only been 4 months. We're still learning.
And this is the part where I say, well, it is 6 months, and we're at that, that crossroads right now. That's why I'm talking to you about this. I have shown you, and you say they're preferences. I say that the boundaries that you've crossed a little bit too often. So I need to know now. I would want to commit myself to you.
Maybe it's because I've exercised some restraint in judging you too quickly. I mean, you don't always communicate. You're gone extended periods of time. You're not timely. Either. It's always work. So if you're
That's
not
true.
Going to stand by what you say, you're being inconsistent. Inconsistency would be a flag. It's not baggage. It's a lesson that I've learned, so I am more acute to my surroundings and who I interact with and the way that I interact with them.
And, of course, if it's inconsistent, but you know that I have to work late, I let you know when I work late. I let you know at the beginning of our relationship that this particular job of mine requires me to work late, and it's not exactly sudden either. I've been doing that for the last last 3 months, so it's not inconsistent. It's not a spur-of-the-moment thing. You know about this.
Well, I did address the communication factor in this, and I work too. So maybe if I said I'm going to cook lasagna and I decide to make you a club sandwich, that should be sufficient. I'm also tired. I work just as hard. Why is there no concessions? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Would that trigger a conversation as to what you need to do? Again, you're a grown man. If you're ready to pursue this relationship, you should come prepared. Is that not correct?
Come prepared?
Why would
I
need to tell you what you need to do to make you more trustworthy? Why can't you just be more trustworthy?
Because I can't read minds. And the way we're going now,
I expected you to read my mind. I'm very outspoken, as you know.
Well, cool. And the thing is, if you're going to say you're going to cook lasagna, but five times in a row you cook a club sandwich, then you should know, as a responsible woman, when you're able to cook lasagna and when you're able to cook the club sandwich. I like your club sandwich.
Maybe you decide
a little bit too
to
much.
Come over to my place on the days I want to cook sandwiches. Maybe I'm more tired of these. We do not live together.
Well, that I recommend. not living together. Not because it's you. It's my general philosophy. I don't believe in people living together. They get on each other's nerves. They should see each other 5 days out of the week and 2 days and two nights out of the week. They should have their own separate lives so that they, when they get back together, they have something to talk about and they can refresh their batteries. But getting back to the troubled one is the
I'm
fact
the troubled
that,
one. Oh, my God.
You're the troubled one. Yes, you're tired, but you know when you're going to be tired unless you have an excuse. You know when you're supposed to fix that club sandwich and when you're supposed to fix lasagna. I think of it as a sign in which you're trying to tell me that you resent me for some reason. Do you?
Well, no, there's no resentment. Maybe I'm waiting for you to show me there's more to you than what you presented. Why don't you
You're waiting for me to show you more, but you don't like the idea that I'm communicating with you, even though you think communication is key, for me to find out what it is that would especially make an impact on you.
Uh-huh.
Why is that?
Not being heard. I think you're invalidating my feelings.
I did address
the fact that you are not consistently communicating with me, and then you tell me I'm not communicating. Or that you're communicating with me and I'm not receiving it, but I've already addressed the point that you are not communicating with me consistently. Therefore, I will allow you room to make your own mistakes. If this is going to be a pattern, then we can part ways and be completely happy people the way we were before we met.
Well, I like your instant acceptance of being a victim. Sounds to me like that's the way women love to be. However,
sound like a narcissist.
I don't want to
talking to me now.
We're trying to clear things up. You're telling me I should, regardless of what you're saying, that I should know how to please you. I'm asking you, and you're telling me that I've been inconsistent. You don't have to say it. The message is clear. There are messages that people say without having to say the exact words. But you also did say that I was inconsistent.
Non-verbal.
What am I being inconsistent about? Right, nonverbal.
I will
so
not
if I clear
be manipulated in this situation. I think it's best that we part ways and you can figure this out with someone else.
that's the way it goes in a relationship, then I hope that's not the way you handle it when somebody wants to sit down and talk to you. I hope you're just saying that because you're on the show, you know. But if somebody wants to sit down and talk to you and you're going to say, well, this is the first talk that we've had and I don't like the way this is talking to me because of whatever it is.
That's not what I said. Where is the listening component in this
communication? I did. Well, you did say you wanted to part ways, didn't you? No, I don't want to take up too much time because we do have Reverend Carol, Eddie, and Dustin, and Reverend Ron. I like it. I mean, I could go on for another half hour, but I don't want to burden Key because she had to think of.
He can dish, so you don't have to worry about Key.
Hey, it's one thing about it. If I could share this, there is a place in our minds called thought entry. There is a place in our minds called thought entry. And thought entry is the place in our mind where thoughts begin and are born. Now, there is a method and a train of thinking that has to deal with the fallen nature of mankind. In our minds, there is a place called thought entry. And thought entry is the place in our mind where thoughts are born. There is a train of thinking that comes to our mind to control our bodies, which is an instrument of expression. And that train of thinking comes from the fallen nature of mankind. And in that nature, it has attributes of disloyalty, attributes of jealousy, attributes of envy, attributes of self-centeredness, egotisticalism, all of the attributes that has to deal with trouble and confusion. Now, if we practice this way of thinking from where thoughts are born in our mind, then our body is going to react to the information. You see, remember, the body is an instrument of expression, and it will express different things that's been projected across the screen of that conscious. So therefore, we have to come to an understanding that we are not perpetually imprisoned by the fallen nature of mankind. We are really designed to be with the train of thinking that comes from the Creator of all things. And that train of thinking is not the projection of the fallen nature of mankind, but it's the thinking, it's the train of thinking of perfection. Remember? The Bible says He made us in His image. So we bring a fallen nature with bad attributes when we do not have the train of thinking of God. Well, if you're not going to trust me, if my practice been all my life of disloyalty, you're not going to be able to trust me. If all I practice from my childhood that gone through my mind is to do the wrong thing, and I measure and I mimic the ways of culture and society and my upbringing, and it was all wrong or a misconception of truth, you are not going to be able to trust me. Now, where you began to trust me is when I learn what's right and what's wrong, and I cater to the things that are right. Now, some people say, what you going to base your teaching on to measure the train of thinking that's right and the train of thinking that's wrong? I certainly can't use Aristotle. I can't use Socrates. I can't use Plato. Matter of fact, I can't use none of the analysts of the old ancient science world, because it wouldn't be beneficial for me today to change me, because they deal with the same kind of situation too, mentally. Now, I would have to change my train of thinking according to right that have been imparted into me from a child by teachers that believe in righteousness, teachers that move not according to the fallen nature of mankind, but refuse that nature and want it to be in a divine train of thinking. Some people would say, I don't want to be totally church or totally holy. Well, holy, wholeness, that's sameness of mind. That's what that means. So when you got the right train of thinking, that's when someone will be able to trust you. But that train of thinking from thought entry has to be practiced in your practical daily lives. Or otherwise, you can forget about trust if you're walking on the characteristics and the fallen nature of mankind. You can forget about trust because look at the world that we live in. Folk lie for fun. Folk lie to laugh. Folk lie. And others will believe the lie. Why? Because that's the practice of the fallen nature of mankind. It's not designed to be trusted because they'll sell out for a moth sale of bread. So no, you're not going to get affection. You're not going to get trust. You're not going to get loyalty. And you're definitely not going to get a commitment unless your train of thinking is measured by righteousness, the right thing to do. Now, when the train of thinking and you have practiced for a long time from thought entry righteousness, then your conscience is purged from the sensations of fallen nature of mankind. How do it become purged? Because of your righteous practices. You practice loving. You practice helping. You practice being kind. You practice being punctual. You practice being truthful. Well, when these things become your practice daily, as you practice, you get better from where you was each day. The more you practice, the better you become. So then your patterns, your practical way of life is being trustworthy to yourself first. You got to be able to be trustworthy to you with the things that are right. You got to be trustworthy. You got to be able to carry out this righteous, practical way of life daily. Then you can, well, let me just pause that minute. Anybody got anything they want to contribute to that?
You're teaching now. You're teaching. Anybody have anything, bro, Eddie? Reverend Carolyn? Sister Keith? All right.
If your mindset is such that you are selfish or traumatized or, as the Reverend is putting it, manifestation of the fall of mankind, which means that, religiously speaking, the soul is contaminated, and in secular terms, the psyche is contaminated, then, yeah, you're going to live your life according to those particular beliefs, and you're going to have a difficulty with people that, challenge those beliefs. So we have to ourselves change those beliefs if we know that those beliefs are self-defeating. That's another part of being traumatized. You don't realize in yourself that you are traumatized. Or even if you realize that you are, you don't know to what extent or what the cause is. A lot of times we forget about traumas because they're too painful to remember. But, yeah, we live our lives according to the belief system and the attitudes that we harbor in our psyches.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Which is why Key wanted to break up after a 5-minute conversation with somebody that she knew for 6 months. So I understand.
Well, for that.
I know.
She doesn't like around herself.
You are wrong for that.
I know. I always do the wrong thing. That's what I like.
Yeah, we know. We're not having that.
Well, it's true. She broke up after a 5-minute conversation with somebody she was in a relationship with for 6 months. Jeez. Come on. We all heard it.
That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. On our trust, okay, on our trust. Does anybody else have to say anything on our trust? Lack of trust?
I have nothing.
Okay. Now, when you talk about, when Joe was talking about, you know, fixing food and not fixing the right food, number 8 is you don't create time for each other. So, you can only know your partner more when you spend quality time. So you and Joe and Key need to spend more quality time. Spending time together helps to strengthen the relationship and provide more chances for improvement. If you don't do this often or your partner avoids every means of meeting together, it is one of the signs that, come on, say together, that your relationship is failing. Hence, you will find it hard to make the relationship work. Okay, let me see who you are. Reverend Carolyn, you still out there with us? He might be preaching to somebody or just listening.
She's taking the same cab as Keith. She's leaving.
That's wrong. That is wrong. And so basically when you don't create time for each other, it's like, you know, not what was the other one that we had? Not planning together, basically. In my number 5, it says not planning together or not spending quality time together or don't create time for each other. It's like, oh, I'm busy. And like Dustin was saying, hey, if my woman says, hey, I need you, he's going to stop, drop, and roll for her regardless. He don't care because his number one duty is to his woman. So how do y'all feel about that one? We're going to start with Bro Eddie. Are you out there, Eddie? He's still on another call, on a Zoom call. Okay, we're going to start with Reverend Ron because, you know, he gets long-winded. He'll probably be about 20 minutes or so. Go ahead, Reverend Ron.
Oh, well. I've learned in my life how to give my mate a peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, the peace that we have after an orgasm, we live in that peace every day without having to have the orgasm all the time. Practice loving, and it's a practical way of life. You become better at it. So if I can spark my wife's interest to the point where it's astronomical or astro or even astronovia, where when she looks at me, it's like a star bursting.
Okay. Astronovia. Mm-hmm.
Then that means in her, if I can keep her by rejuvenating her, by keeping her responding with joy, and how do I do this? Mm-hmm. It's a practical way of my life because I practice love. I practice applying love. I practice kindness. And so doing, then she's overwhelmed. Now, I might tell her, I might say, well, I did in my with the wife that passed, I asked her one night, I said, baby, she said, yeah. I said, how do you get 1,000 years out of 24 hours? She looked at me. She said, what? I said, how do you get 1,000 years out of 24 hours? She said, you can't do it. Can't nobody do that but God. I said, yeah, but God does something to get it. She said, well, then tell me what you're talking about. I said, okay, sure. I told her, I said, look, baby, I said, I'm finna blow your mind, but I'm finna fill it up. See, when you blow your woman's mind, you're supposed to fill it up so it won't be stay open. Because if it stays open, then everything that's been put in over a period of time can get taken out. She said, well, what you talking about? She said, what you talking about? I said, God gets 1,000 years out of 24 hours because he breaks it up 500 years every 12 hours. What did she say? I said, well, I said, God get 1,000 years out of 24 hours out of a day because he breaks it up 500 years every 12 hours.
How you know that?
Say what?
I said, how you know that?
Say what? Well, what's two times five?
Well, two times five is ten.
Okay. Well, two times twelve is 24, right? If 2 times 12 is 24, so to get 1,000 out of 24 hours, it would have to be 500 years every 12 hours.
Right, but I mean, how do you, how would, okay, I'm going to just listen. Go ahead.
Oh, you never heard that before?
No.
If you never heard it before, I'm teaching you something.
I'm just wondering how you know he did that. Because he's God.
Well,
I know the math. I understand the math. Go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead with the 24.
Okay, but the moral of it was, I calmed her down, took her mind somewhere else. Now, me taking her mind somewhere else, in our growing together, she going to want me to always spark her curiosity. And I do it with conversation.
Okay.
And guess what? She never loses interest of being with me because I'm always presenting a sensation of love and fulfillment and kindness with just the presence because I respect her presence. She respects my presence. Then we want to be around each other. When my presence is disrespected, her presence is disrespected, then that's when we don't want to be around each other. But as long as love is being applied, that's the moral of what I'm sharing with you. Now, since God gives us 24 hours, so then that means he's 976 hours ahead of us, right? Think about all the love that comes behind him that I can grab a hold to because my train of thinking is practicing righteousness, doing the right thing. Think about all of the love and kindness I can overshower her with to the point where she wants it consistently. In other words, when she go to work, she's ready to come home to me. Her mind can't be on another man because she's still thinking about the good time we had together. She's still thinking about what she learned. She's still thinking, well, this man put something on my mind. That if Bowlegged Joe was standing over there, he wouldn't move my train of thinking.
He said Bowlegged Joe.
Y'all go ahead and talk about something, you know.
Well, I like to expound on that. I like to ask you the very simple begging of the question, Reverend, is that with your wife, she was willing, as you mentioned before, to go along with your particular methodology because your methodology exhibited your love towards her, your respect towards her, et cetera, and she realized that you were the man that she could trust. What about all of us, or let's say most of us, who have had relationships with men and women, and we provide that, and yet that still is not enough? What happens then?
Well, now remember, at first she was not a wife. She was bringing me the girlfriend piece. I didn't want the girlfriend piece. I committed to have a wife. So until I was able to help her understand, see the word under means to submit, and the word stand means to know your point of view. That's the two words, understanding, submit, and know your point of view. Well, if I know my point of view, then I can submit. If I submit, I can know my point of view, right? So there has to be, in a commitment, there is a submitting that comes along with committing, and there has to be a willingness to submit. Now, does that make a man a weak man because he submit? Submit to what? I might submit to just pausing in a conversation for the sake of keeping the unity. It doesn't mean that my point goes useless. No. Just to keep the unity so I can get that point across, perhaps timing is not right for it to be interjected. And God knows all things, so sometimes he puts something else there that can course the conversation not to leave the point of view, but where submission of love can have its abide with us as well. When I think of you, when you think of me, if we're committed, and you see my inadequacies, you do not push me to the point where I'm inadequate. You bring me to the point where I'm adequate, or either you bring me to the point of I can see plainly where I'm going. Mm-hmm. But if you confuse me, if you mental confusion is bad health. Mental peace is good health. So if you can keep the environment peaceful, that's why the practice and the attributes of the spirit of truth, that I always want to have truthfulness involved in everything that I do. Let me be truthful. Now, am I totally 100% there? No. But am I close? I feel like I am. Can I see growth of being truthful just constantly with my mate? Yes. Well, if truthfulness and the spirit of truth is involved, then it brings the hearts and the minds together because there is a foundation that's not crumbling. Foundation is on truth. If it's built on truth, then the people that practice the truth, then they got a real strong standing point. But if it's a crumbling foundation because it's on pretense of falseness, untruths, no loyalty, no respect, don't respect your presence. It's like you're there, but you're not there. I can ignore you even while you're sitting there. If you're carrying that kind of thing, then the attributes are not going to be trustworthy. There has to be a change from fallen humanity to a divine creature that has been created, but the spirit of truth regulates the body, which is the instrument of expression. It expresses truth. When your practice is truth, that's when you can be trusted, because your practice is truthfulness. Daily practical lives, I'm saying. That's when you get overtaken. Mm-hmm. That's when people have successful lives together. When they recognize truthfulness, then that's when God, 976 years ahead of us, behind him come all the blessings that secures the union of commitment.
Yep, and there are people who are committed to the relationship.
Sure.
But again, if you're in that relationship and you show that other person that you can be trusted, and that person has either said or through behavior has let you know that they really, really care for you, but at the same time, the relationship is going downhill, then what's your recommendation?
Well, if I'm going downhill, then somebody got to put on some brakes or we're going to crash. So if I'm going downhill, then by me being the cultivator, then let me groom some more. Let me cultivate some more. Let me enhance some more. And let me do what it is to bring that person that's carrying us downhill to a stop. But when I stop them, let me share some information with them to make them want to stop going downhill and a downward spiral and go upward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what information?
And what particular attributes does the other person have to have in order for that person to respond to the person who's putting on the brakes and transmitting the new information?
They have to have the attributes of, okay, let me submit for an understanding. Let me submit for an understanding. Okay, you say this is the right way. Let me submit to the information, and then let me change according to my submission and me knowing my point of view after I submit. Let me submit to the information to see how well it changes me.
And I agree. The person has to be willing. They have to say, let me submit. But if they don't say that, then you can't do too much more with them.
But now, we have to be cautious of, remember I said my wife had practiced a girlfriend lifestyle for a big portion of her life. So habits had formed in her living that girlfriend life for so long of a time with different people. Habits had formed. Well, in order for her to put on brakes from study perpetuating herself in that girlfriend thing, she had to come to understand, okay, this is not going to be acceptable with me because that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I committed to. You committed to be a wife. Now, if you don't know the wifely duties, let me flip the Bible open and show you in the book of Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman who done well. let me show you. You know, if you ain't never been a wife and you ain't never understood what wifely duties are, let me flip this open and show you how this woman acted and the respect that she had from her husband, from her children, from the people in the community, from the people she did business with. There is proof of how a perfect woman can carry her life and lead her life with integrity.
But what about those married women who were married to pastors and reverends and other practitioners of religion, and they divorced?
Well,
right.
No one is exempt from allowing the wrong information to get into their mind from thought entry where thoughts are born. That could happen to anybody. But remember, Eve was perfect. And I'm using because everybody is familiar with this. Eve was perfect until she allowed an evil conversation to come through her mind. She allowed the train of thinking to lead from perfection to imperfection. That can happen. In other words, when the preacher wife or the preacher leaves what they are teaching, then they subject to become Adamic. They subject to partake with the fallen nature of mankind. We don't practice partaking with it, but if we listen to wrong counsel, and what the counsel is saying seem to be, you know, something to enjoy, then sometimes we can vary. But the varying, it causes us to be disloyal and untrustworthy. So then our conscience starts beating us up. Now, wait a minute. I want to treat my wife till the... I treated my wife, and I oftentimes had her laughing because I tell her, I say, hey, listen, treat me like you would treat the man you're going to cheat with. If you put it all on the line for him, put it all on the line for me.
Yeah, I like that.
Wow. That's deep right there.
You know, women and men go out for the person that they're going to cheat with. They'll give up their risk, their marriage, their risk money, their risk everything. So I used to have a laugh. I said, risk everything for me tonight and forevermore.
That's a good way of looking at it.
I said, if you do it like that, you're going to be sneaking in the bedroom with me. You're going to be sneaking in the front room with me. You're going to be sneaking.
I love it.
How much time and effort and aggravation does a man or a woman have to put up with in a committed relationship, in a marriage, before they call it quits? Now, like I said, committed relationship. They've done all they can. Maybe even going to counseling, maybe even going to the priest, the rabbi, the pastor. How much time, effort, aggravation does a person have to put up with and invest before they call it quits?
Well, if you commit it, if you are totally sold from the recess of your being committed, then you're in it for the long haul, right? Look, you can change.
You're asking me if I'm in it for the long haul? If I'm in a committed relationship?
General.
You can ask me.
Hey, look here. If the person is genuinely committed, then it's in their mind. Okay, me and baby been together for 5 years. We done accumulated this together. We got a bank account together. And your mind the correct mind is thinking, let me do all I can to get her on the right tracks. If she was on the right track up until this point, and I was persuasive from the beginning, I'm still the same person. And I can use a different type of method. I can use a different method. And what is that different method? To keep her interest. That you start thinking, you say, well, Lord, what would that guy do? You say, how long do a person have to put up with such a thing? Think about when she leaves home to cheat with someone. The dude ain't been with her no like that. You've been with her for the biggest of her life. It don't take him nothing but sometimes 1 hour. If she wants to cheat. So if he got the power to show up 1 hour and change my woman mind who's been with me for 15 years, then don't you know I've been with her 15 years? I can change her mind quicker than he can. I should be able to anyway. I've been with her 15 years. He showed up 1 hour, and he changed her 15 years of commitment in 1 hour. Some people say, well, maybe because it was a burnout. It shouldn't be no burnout in no commitment. The fire should always be burning, but it should be a fire of desire, not devouring. If it's fire to devour, then, yes, a guy can come along in 1 hour because she tired, she wore out, she burned out. But if you can keep the fire of desire rolling as the man, and that's still teaching too.
teaching how to not be so imprisonated you can't release your affection. Remember, what you are being imprisonated to is something that happened before I came in the picture. I wasn't the guy that did that to you. I'm the guy that's healing you. Now that we're in this marriage, we're like accumulating things. I don't want to lose. I didn't get involved to lose. No. Bountifully life is why I committed. So I'm not easily going to give up on that. So if it takes me a minute to get her mind on track to a different lifestyle, then I'm willing to do it, especially if I know how to do it. Now, if I'm lost for direction or don't know what I'm doing dealing with this woman's mind, well, then it could be a problem. It could be a long, drawn-out thing. But since I have experience and I've been practicing a practical way of life of loving, then it's not a problem for me to apply love to the point where it moves people to cater my way, especially the woman I'm living with. So as, to ask your question, though, as long as it takes. But I'm going to get it over with fast because I want to enjoy.
Right.
I'm going to get it over with fast, too, but in the opposite direction.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You are wrong.
No. What I'm going to do, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to say, and I want to, you know, they have these so-called languages of love. My language of love is English. You understand English, I understand English. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to talk with her, and I'm going to ask her, is there anything that I have been doing that has been aggravating you or making you not trust me in any way? Now, she gives me a little litany, and I say, if I correct myself on all of these matters, then everything is perfect, right? And if she says right, then I start correcting those behavior patterns, and I present to her, you know, what it is about her that aggravates me, and we do it that way. Mm-hmm. Now, however, if I correct my behavior and she's still acting in a certain way, and I'm pointing it out to her, I'm saying, baby, you promised that you weren't going to do this or that in this way or that way, and she still continues to do it. And I've already gotten her confirmation that I've eliminated those behavior patterns of mine that have aggravated her, then we're at a crossroads. And then I might say, you know, okay, what else do I have to do to make you realize that you don't have to do these things that aggravate me or start arguments, that we can have fun together, we can have excitement together. We've been having it off and on, but it's getting fewer and fewer times. So what else do I have to do? So if she gives
you
me
practice,
a
good you got to practice all the time, Joe. You got to practice the good time. You got to practice
yeah,
things that you want to be regularly in your life. It has to be practiced. In other words, if you
now remember, I'm having this conversation with her. So she's telling me I've eliminated those particular items which have either bothered her or have caused her to create an argument. In other words, she's supposed to feel safe, secure, and so therefore I am practicing that which will maintain a healthy relationship. I've got a confirmation on it. So I'm doing it. So if I'm doing it and she's still acting out of trauma, right, or out of selfishness or ego, and then as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to be that way and you already admit that I'm not the problem and you're going to continue doing that, then I've got a real problem child on my hands and I'm not here on earth to suffer. So hasta la vista, nice thing. Now, of course, we can go to counseling. Okay? We can go to counseling. That, you know, but if counseling doesn't help, then absolutely, it's, you know, I've been practicing what you've been talking about. I've been doing that which is exciting her or making her feel trusting of me. but she has trauma, or we can reverse the positions. If I'm the one with the problem and she's doing well, then she has every right to say to me, hasta la vista, baby, because we're not born to suffer other people's trauma. Now, remember, we're in a committed relationship, but I'm committed to as long as you're committed to me. When you show me you're not committed to me, I don't have to be committed. You know, that's the way I feel.
Can you have anything to say? You're off the quiet.
Oh, because they were talking. I don't really have anything to say new. I mean, we've kind of touched on this before. Eventually, you get worn down. And it's not that in most cases you want to quit, but for your own peace and for your own sanity, you have to make different choices. You know, like you said a couple of different times, in order to do better, you got to know better. And once you know better, you got to do better. So if you're communicating and the person is showing you they just have a blatant disregard for how you feel and what's causing discord in the relationship, if you're not going to care about it, why should I continue to care? I have to love myself enough to say, this is unacceptable, I am deserving of more, and I will not tolerate it. Now, if you're, like, really invested in a person, and so you're not going to be all that quick to give up, because, I mean, you've got the, I've invested so much time, there might be some potential here, or this person wasn't like this before, or I just didn't see it, and, you know, whatever. So you try, you swallow your pride and your feelings, and you internalize, and you go through all this stuff, trying to make a bad situation worse, trying to convince the other person, you know, to come around. But after you do that for so long and they're just set in doing what they want to, why stay? I mean, that's not what a commitment is for. If you're supposed to love and respect me and you have the expectations that I will address and meet your needs, then why do you feel you're not expected to do the same? I'm not going to be respectful to you, and you're going to be disrespectful to me, and I'm not going to keep trying and making the sacrifices and the compromises, and you're just going to want to do what you want to. I am not a doormat.
But, T, I haven't, okay, now in the particular, what if the person, again, notice I said that my, and I'm using this because I feel comfortable with this, notice I said
the
my wife.
The girlfriend versus the wife. I understand. But some
Notice I said she was trying to give me something that I didn't want, but I had to share with her that I did not want that, but I wanted her.
Okay, and when you share that and you're exercising this love and patience and kindness and it's thrown back in your face, they're just going to still do what they want to do. You can change. You can do all this for me, and I give you nothing.
But habits don't change overnight. A lot of people stay in
bad marriages for decades waiting for something to get fixed.
No,
and
you fix it. You fix it.
No. Yeah, you well, can try
you,
to fix well, it, but
when
person,
you leave out of that relationship,
you can't fix it by yourself.
Wait a minute. When you leave out of the relationship, say if you're in a relationship with a person and y'all break up or y'all divorce, you're going to have to fix the next one you go to, too. You're going to have to work on it, too.
Well, every relationship is work. I'm not going to take a bad experience to the next one, which is why when I got divorced, I gave myself 6 years. All I did was focus on myself to heal from the bad situation that I was in. I clearly identified what was acceptable versus what was not, and what I would tolerate and what I wouldn't. So,
but what were you measuring it by?
What do you mean, what am I measuring it by?
What truth were you measuring your actions by? What factual truth were you measuring your actions by, as well as his actions?
I measured my truth by the fact that I had my internal warning not to even marry the person that I married. But I went against that, thinking that I knew better. You know how they say, well, if you want to take a course of action, then God will be there when you come back. If he's telling you to go left and you insist on going right, you can't be like, okay, well, why did this happen to me? So there's nothing wrong with my intuition. There's nothing wrong with my faith and my spirituality and my belief. So my moral compass is correct. My desire to communicate is on point. I have not broken your trust. I have made every effort to correct a problem. And that went nowhere. So what I did was walked away from the relationship. I got tired of waiting for it. I got tired of putting in the work and getting no results. So when I walked away, and I gave myself the time to process and to say, well, you knew from the beginning this was not the right person for you. But I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I have to own my part, be accountable for my choice. Doesn't mean that I deserve what I got. It doesn't mean that I'm going to take all of that and say, okay, Joe, it's you and me now, and you're on the receiving end. I'm just going to be like, okay, well, I just already know you're going to cheat. Let me see how long it's going to be. Or I know that you're just going to be blatantly disrespectful and disregard and invalidate me and all these things. That I don't have the time or the energy to do that. We're going to get acquainted. We're going to talk like, okay, well, what hurts affect your decisions and what things are you willing to share that could influence us or however you decide to word the questions. You have this in-depth, let's just be honest. We'll know if it's going to work or if it's not going to work based on what we share and if we're willing to put forth the effort. But you're going to get your own clean slate until you do something that says, okay, maybe I'm sending off some flags to this other person. So if you say, well, I'm going to be working late and I'll be home late. You don't give a time. But you're not actually working. You're out, like, having drinks or at the movies, even if it's by yourself. That honesty component is not there. So it's not that I'm going to bring prior trust issues to your doorstep, but I am aware we go through things, we get lessons from the things that we go through by choice or not by choice. If you're going to continually put yourself in a situation where you're experiencing the same things and going through the same things, nothing is going to change, no matter how many people you try to do it with. Forever, it could be 2 months over here, a year over there, or whatever. You have to have enough self-worth, self-understanding in order to make any, you know, next step. If something's telling you, you know, if something's happened that's showing you that this is going to be a problem for you, you need to know it's not an area or a road you want to go down.
But if you've already committed, I already said I do.
Okay, well, we ain't talking about marriage, Pastor. We just talking about commitment.
Relationship.
Not, we didn't say anything about marriage.
Okay.
You have to crawl before you can walk. You can't be like, oh, it's great over here. We're just going to get married. No, you have to have some degree of commitment, understanding, respect, and, you know, these commonalities, you know, and you get to that point. And then you can say, well, you don't even wait till you get married. When you know you're going in that direction, you need to have that conversation. This is what I expect in a husband. This is what I need from a husband.
Okay, I got you now.
And vice versa. But that's the committed portion of the relationship. So if we're learning each other, that's what that growth path is for. But then you go through this, and like we talked about before, this illusion, because you have like the selfishness, the narcissist, the people that's just hell-bent on making your life hell and seeing how quick they can do it. I mean, what can you do? So you end up in that situation, and you're committed now, but the foundation's all wrong. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Is that not true?
That is so true. Very true.
So, I mean, you have to have the foundation
right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And at that point right there, we have like 2 minutes, and I want to get this this announcement out about Thursday. It's going to be, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. We're going to be kicking it with Kitra. She was on the show with Reverend Ron, who is an actual virtuous woman, on August 17th, and she just blew us away. So mm-hmm. you heard her that day as Bruh Eddie did. He was just like, wow. You want to hear more on this Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And on Sunday is Reverend Ronnie Marshall's sister, Dr. Lula, who was on the show earlier. She's going to be speaking on Sunday. So I want y'all to join us during that time, because we only got about a minute left. And so, you know, hold that thought. Hopefully you all be coming back. And, you know, so we can go on part four of this. So I just wanted to tell you about all that.
What number are we at?
Excuse me?
What number are we at? 7, 8?
We're at 8. We're on 8. We still got 7 more to go. So we have some upcoming topics which have been sent to me, abused men. Can somebody teach me how to be a man? And that's by author Anthony Wallace, Forgiveness, Overcoming Stereotypical Expectations, Moving Beyond the Hurt. If you have a if a topic you want to discuss, let's talk about it. You can email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. I want to thank everybody for joining me this evening. If you got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself, because, hey, we want to see you next week. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, the Young Fashion Center on Ice Rocco Designs. And if your old self could tell your young self one thing about life, what would it be? Have a good evening.
Thank
Peace
you.
Out.
Thank you, Doc.
Good night.
Good night,
talk to y'all soon. Love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank
good
you.
Night,
hold
everybody.
Your thoughts until next Tuesday. Love you guys. Thank you.
All right. Good night. Love you more.